3. Aeron. At least Aeron thought he was ready. He expected the guards to come after him, and they did. What he didn't expect was for one of the guards to hand Judicus Love a pistol and for her to aim the gun at Chair Lamont. Love? What are you? It was all Lamont had time to say. The single round went in through his forehead and out the other side in a messy spray. General Hyrie just killed the chair, Love said calmly, dropping the murder weapon to the floor. And he's resisting arrest. Aeron smiled. He should have known. The guards closed on him, drawing shock batons from their hips. Aeron remained upright, refusing to acknowledge they were in control of the situation, because they weren't.
You should have just shot me, he said.
There are 4 of us and only 1 of you, Love replied. And you aren't even a clone.
Neither are you.
No, I'm better. She rushed him, moving faster than any regular human and confirming Aeron's worst fear. The hunger was on Proxima. For how long? He reached into his pocket almost casually as Judicus Love approached him. He didn't try to evade her attack. Instead, he grabbed the weapon there and jabbed it through the cloth and into her gut. Her eyes flew wide open in shock, her momentum carrying her into him and causing the microspear to sink even deeper into her abdomen. He caught her body, holding her as the weapon did its damage, thin tendrils reaching up from the point of entry to the coron tucked into the base of her neck.
How?
It was all she managed to croak out before she died.
Always be ready, he said, yanking the spear out.
He didn't let her fall, keeping her upright in his arms as he looked at the guards. They were off balance from the suddenness of the Judicus's death, an opportunity he couldn't afford to waste. Aeron shoved her toward the lead clone, lunging at the man on his left. He threw a hard right hook toward the guard's face. The man caught it easily, holding Aeron's fist and squeezing. It hurt, but not as much as the microspear Aeron jabbed into the guard's abdomen. The spear was Axon tech, designed to kill Coron, and it was made of Axon alloy, a mixture of exotic ores that didn't exist on Earth. It was invisible to scanners, including the one he had passed through coming in, and was sharp enough to penetrate nearly anything. It went right through the layer of spider steel beneath the thicker plates of the guard's combat armor, diving into the flesh and expanding outward to attack vital organs. Aeron let go of it as the clone let go of his hand. Turning, he ducked behind the dying guard as the clone's body fell limply to the floor. The third guard swung at him with his shock baton, missing when Aeron moved to avoid it. The first guard caught Judicus Love's body and turned it aside to fall on the floor as he reached for the rifle on his back. Aeron stayed in motion, pivoting around the other side of the fallen guard, somersaulting past the third guard to concentrate again on the first. He grabbed the clone's rifle, redirecting the fired rounds into the floor. Aeron jabbed the weapon into the clone's groin and pulled the trigger. The maneuver sent the guard reeling and left Aeron within reach of the dropped handgun. He had a split second to decide whether or not to grab it. Investigators would trace the bullet that killed Lamont back to the weapon, and if they found his prints on it, the entire planet would be hunting him within hours. Yes, they would realize he hadn't taken the shot sooner or later, but that wasn't the hunger's goal here. They didn't need to stop him completely. They only needed to slow him down. It would take an investigations unit time to discover the truth. An investigations unit run by the Judicus Department. Maybe they wouldn't find he hadn't taken the shot. Of course, they would still have to locate the weapon first. He grabbed the gun, spinning to his knees and aiming it at the remaining guard just as the clone swung his rifle around from his back. Aeron fired, squeezing the trigger nearly a dozen times. The rounds were well placed, bypassing the thick plates of the combat armor and punching into the guard's bodysuit and helmet. None of them were going to pierce the protection, but they offered a painful distraction, giving Aeron time to scramble forward and grab the microspear from the first guard's flesh and fling it at his opponent. The clone had recovered enough to swing his rifle up in an effort to deflect the sliver of matte black alloy. He was too slow. The microspear slipped past the weapon and buried itself in the guard's chest. He stumbled forward and collapsed. Aeron didn't waste any time.
He got back to his feet, hurrying to the downed guard and reclaiming the microspear, grateful to Sheriff Duke for sending it to Preyton with Isaac. The sheriff had wanted him to use Proxima's more advanced tools to study it in a good faith effort to continue to improve relations between the two worlds. Hayden knew Aaron was a member of the Trust and had somehow guessed it wasn't that simple, that there was more to the situation than he had ever let on. If he ever spoke to the sheriff in person again, he would make it a point to ask him how he had come to that conclusion. In the meantime, Aaron had to get out of Lamont's apartment. He needed to regroup and send a warning to the other members of the organization. The Relia had infiltrated the planet. They had gotten close to the civilian council. Or worse, they had infiltrated that too. It was his job to figure out how they had gotten here and how many there were. It was his job to make sure they were all destroyed. He straightened his uniform, looking back at Chair Lamont. Every member of the council had an implant tracking their vital signs. As soon as his heart had stopped, the tracker had passed a code blue to the nearest emergency response station, which just happened to be on the second floor of the building. It meant he had less than 30 seconds to figure out how he was going to get out of this mess without leaving the room in restraints. He glanced down at the gun in his hand. Maybe he shouldn't have picked it up. But if he hadn't, he would probably be dead. Whatever happened next, he had lost his chance to inform the council about the coming starship, at least for now. Besides his immediate predicament, he had another more important threat to worry about. The Hunger's move against him and Chair Lamont was no accident, and he was sure it wouldn't start and end in this room. Every single member of the organization was at risk. So was every single person on Proxima. His eyes darted to the lift. The control pad indicated the cab was on its way up, likely carrying a full complement of medics and guards. If he discarded the gun, he could talk his way out of the building. But they would find it within hours, and then they would come after him. For the second time in a minute, he had to make a hard choice. Or did he? He had been playing this game too long to be outmaneuvered so easily. He had spent years cultivating a reputation as a strong and loyal leader, a man both his Marines and the civilians they defended held in high regard. He didn't need to run. He also didn't need to lie. In the absence of contrary evidence, they would believe whatever he said without question because of who he was. That didn't mean he was out of this. The death of Adjudicus would lead the branch to launch an investigation of their own, and there was nothing he could do to stop it. Not without looking guilty in a manner he couldn't deny. No, the real battle was just getting started. The Hunger was here and working against him, probably from the Judicus department. But he could buy himself more time, enough to warn his operatives and start fighting back, enough to get his family somewhere safe, if there was anywhere safe. He put the microspear back in his pocket and placed the gun on the ground in front of him. Then he put his hands behind his head, waiting there for the remaining time it took for the lift to arrive. The doors opened, the Centurion guards leading the way out into the room, with the medics guiding a floating gurney behind them. Their rifles swept across the room before freezing on Aaron.
"General Hyrie," one of them said in surprise. "Sergeant," he replied, "you can lower your gun. You won't need that gurney either. Chair Lamont is already dead."
The sergeant lowered his rifle, clearly confused by the scene. Aaron lowered his hands.
"The murder weapon is there," he said, pointing to the gun. "My prints are all over it. I needed it to kill one of the assassins before he killed me."
"Are you okay, sir?" the sergeant asked.
"Well enough. I'm only sorry I didn't get here in time to stop this from happening."
"It looks to me like you're lucky to be alive."
"It isn't luck, Sergeant. It's preparation. Always be ready."
"Yes, sir.
I'll need you to make a full report, General." "I'll take care of the report, Sergeant." "This is a damn tragedy," the other Centurion said. "Why did they do it?"
"How did they get a gun up here?" the sergeant added. "And who the hell are these people?"
"I don't know," Aaron replied. "But I'm going to find out."
The medics entered the apartment, hurrying over to Lamont. They froze when they saw the bullet wound. They didn't need any fancy technology to convince them the chair was dead.
"Damn,"
one of them said. Sergeant, secure the apartment and keep this quiet. We don't need the media jumping all over this. The last attack still has everyone on edge.
Yes, sir.
Medic?
Yes, General,
one of the medics replied. Not a word of this, do you understand? As far as your report is concerned, Chairman Lamont had a massive stroke and dropped dead in his recliner.
Sir, with a bullet wound in his skull?
Put him in a body bag. We need to manage this internally while we get a handle on what we're dealing with. He pointed to the clones. And make sure they disappear like the others.
General, illegal clones are a big deal, the sergeant replied. We can't just sweep them under the rug.
We can, and will. He made eye contact with the sergeant, passing the silent threat along in his gaze. Understood?
Yes, sir.
If any of you leak word of this to anyone, I'll have you in the brig so fast your head will spin. Consider this classified level 5.
Sir, isn't that a Judicus? The medic asked, noticing Love.
We can't make her disappear.
Aaron glanced at Judicus Love. She was going to be a thorn in his side even after death. He needed to find something to do with her. He couldn't afford an autopsy done by the wrong doctor revealing evidence of an alien parasite. Not yet. Bring her back to the base and hand the body over to Dr. Klein. If anyone from the Judicus department comes to you, you direct them to me.
Yes, sir.
I'll send a team to help you with the cleanup. Aaron boarded the lift, turning around inside and tapping the control pad. The doors slid closed in front of him. The Judicus department would come. They had the authority to bring him in and submit him to any means of questioning they deemed necessary. While some of the Judicus worked for the Trust, some wasn't all. The race was on.